Mark chapter 3, we begin to read verse number 13. The Bible says, "And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him who he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house." Let's pray. Father, we bless you. Lord, we thank you for again allowing us to be in the house of God tonight. Lord, it's only by your grace we're not in a jail cell or in a rehab center or on a bar stool or, Lord, just wicked and have no desire or zeal for eternal things, because we'd be lost. God, we're glad for the good grace of God. And Lord, we're thankful for your blessings. And Lord, we're thankful that we can once again come out from among the world to the, be separate. Lord, assemble with your people, Lord, that we might sing song of praise unto you, bow these unworthy heads and pray and call upon you, and Lord, lift up holy hands and praise you and worship you for what great things you have done. Now, God, we thank you for the good singing, the good testimonies. Lord, we just thank you for being so good. Lord, the psalmist said it best where he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Lord, you have never disappointed. You're always good. And God, we thank you for answered prayer. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us once again to be able to open the Word of God and read from your Word. And Lord, have understanding, because our eyes have been opened to the things of God. And God, we just thank you for allowing us again to be here. Now, Father, bless the reading of the Word of God. Bless your people. Encourage them. Help them tonight. For being amongst us unsaved, I pray tonight be the night of their salvation. God, I pray for the saved, that, Lord, you just bless them real good. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. Use this unworthy vessel. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to show you a few things from these verses that stood out to me. And I want you to notice, first of all, the mountain. Verse number 13 said, "He goeth up into a mountain." Can I say it's an elevated place? And anytime you ever get around the Lord, you'll be elevated. Your spirits will be lifted. You may be in the valley, but he's the lily of the valleys. And your spirit, your countenance, your hopes, everything about you be elevated. There's just something about being around the Lord. And can I say, he called them up to a mountain. He wanted them to see things are different from his viewpoint. And if we could ever just hide the Word of God in our hearts and begin to look at things from God's viewpoint, you'll see things in a greater light. We see the mountain. I want you to notice the mandate. Look what it says in verse 13. "And calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him." Notice the mandate, or the calling of God. Aren't you glad for the day you heard him call your name when you was lost without God? And he spoke to you, convicted you of sin, and drew you with love and kindness unto himself. And when you called and repented and ask him to save you, aren't you glad he saved you? I'm glad for the salvation call. I'm glad for the call to service. He told us to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But then there's specific callings where he calls men to preach the Word of God. What a blessing to be called of God. Can I say it's God's will that all his children do something?
Sure.
God never saved anybody to sit on a stool and do nothing. He saved us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and he saved us that we might be a light and we might be salt to this world. Let me ask you, what are you doing for Jesus? Need to be doing something. Everybody can do something. Now, you might not be able to do what somebody else can do, but you can do something. And you ought to do something because of what great things God's done for you. Say, how do I know what to do? If you get in the book, he'll show you what to do. You get on your knees and ask him, he'll tell you what to do. Can I say, we see the mountain, we see the mandate. Now notice the ministry in verses 14 and 15. He says, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils." He called and ordained 12 to be his disciples. We know that for some 3+ years, they went everywhere he went, heard everything he preached, and he instructed them, and he showed them, and he taught them, and he sent them forth to preach, to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And what a blessing. We see what the ministry that Jesus ordained. And can I say how the ministry has changed?
Amen.
Now the ministry, you got to have coffee bars and Wi-Fis and free donuts and car washes and rummage sales and tell everybody that Jesus loves them. You don't have to repent. Jesus made you. He loves you. And you don't have to change. You can live however you want to, and everything's going to be fine. Just give me an offering. And that's what most ministry is. Now, you just think I make fun of that stuff. But if you really paid attention and listened to what goes on in this world, in a nutshell, that's about it. It's all done to gratify the flesh and keep you coming so they can build bigger ministries. Brother Ray, tell you, he was at some so-called church this past week where our sanctuary would fit in their fellowship hall 4 times. Listen, I don't misunderstand what I'm going to say, because I'm going to be real positive tonight, because I'm going on vacation. And if I go meet God from the ocean, I want him to say, your last message at least was positive, all right? But listen, God created the church, and his house is to be the house of prayer.
Amen.
His house is for the worship of him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Fellowship happens outside of his house. They met daily and continued in breaking of bread and fellowship as one another, an individual going from house to house. But we've got the cart before the horse nowadays. It's all geared around fellowship. Go look at some church. I'm talking about some independent Baptist churches. They got activities every night of the week, every night of the month, to just keep people engaged. Well, I don't mean to be unkind, but if the Holy Ghost can't keep you engaged, what are you there for? If the Word of God can't keep you engaged, if your relationship with Jesus doesn't keep you engaged, what you have is sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Now, I'm all for activities, you know that. I love fellowship. Invite me over, I'll eat everything in your cupboard. But the church isn't built on fellowship. Jesus chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Well, that's as negative as I'm going to get, hopefully. Notice the men that he called. Look at verse 16. We see Simon, surnamed Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, surnamed them the sons of thunder, Boanerges, or however you say that, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus. Thaddeus is pretty old. He's sitting right back there. That's what a 2,000-year-old disciple looks like, right there. And Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot. We see the men. But I want to focus on the moniker mentioned here. A moniker means surname, or we would know it as a nickname. We see in verse number 17, it says, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother James, he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Let me just say that Jesus surnamed them. He only surnamed one other one, and that was Simon, called Peter. Now, Peter means little stone. We know Jesus is the rock of ages. And really what he's saying is Peter one of these days is going to be a chip off the old block. So what he's saying. But he names John and James the son of thunder. Now can I say men gave some of the other ones names. Men gave Thomas the name Doubting Thomas. And Judas Iscariot was known as the betrayer. And then there was James the Just, and there are others that came after them that got nicknames from men. But Jesus only gave two monikers or two surnames to his disciples. And I want to focus on these brothers. They're called the Sons of Thunder. And can I say that speaks something about them, just like Doubting Thomas speaks something about him. Can I say, your reputation is what men sees. Your character is what happens when you're alone before God. But can I say, it was Thomas's reputation that he doubted. We have the account in the Scriptures. It was Judas's reputation that he was a betrayer. We find that in the Scriptures. It proved out in their life. So it says something about them. We know that Peter was called a stone. First of all, because starting out in the ministry, he was real hard-headed. I mean, every time the Lord said something, Peter's butting up against him. No, Lord, not so, Lord, not so, Lord. At one point, Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan. He calls him a devil. I mean, he's hard-headed. I can testify that there's a lot of scars on my body because I was hard-headed before God. But hey, aren't you glad something happened in Peter's life? Yeah, I know Peter denied the Lord, but Peter's also the one, because he had so much zeal for God, he got out of the boat when all the other disciples didn't. He walked on water. But yeah, aren't you glad that Peter found something special about God's mercy and grace and forgiveness? And even though Peter had a tough time forgiving himself, Jesus just kept saying, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. And every time the Lord said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And by the time you get to reading 1st and 2nd Peter, that's a whole different fellow than the one that's in the Gospels. Why? Hey, he'd learned something about the good grace of God, and he did become a chip off the block, and he is a great example of what a Christian ought to be. Amen. Well, we find that about those men. Well, what about these two men, Sons of Thunder? Can I say something? That speaks of their presence. Can I say that you always know when thunder's around? Thunder isn't real quiet. It just speaks something about their presence. Hey, when James and John showed up, everybody knew it. There was just something about their presence. They didn't seek to draw attention themselves. They sought to point others to Jesus. But they had so much Jesus on them. When they showed up, everybody took notice. It spoke about their presence. It also speaks of their power. Can I say, thunder can shake a building and shake your house. Have you ever been sitting there in a clash of thunder and your walls shake and your pictures on your walls shake? Hey, can I say, these men had so much power of God on them. When they began to preach, hey, the souls of men begin to shake in their bodies with Holy Ghost conviction. Hey, they're the Sons of Thunder. It speaks of their presence. It speaks of their power. It speaks of their personification, of their traits, of their zeal, of their abilities. They just blow through and everybody took notice of them. Could I say? They were highly regarded and looked up to. Matter of fact, I have no bones saying that they are heroes of the faith. We get to heaven, you're going to see the Sons of Thunder highly, highly rewarded because they were heroes of the faith. And so this is what I want to preach on with God's help. God gave me this little thought. I want to preach on this. I want to preach on being a hero for Jesus. Being a hero for Jesus. Now, we're living in the superhero age. I mean, every other week they got a new Marvel superhero movie coming out. That's all designed so you'll buy more action figures for your little Johnny, huh? We're living in the superhero day. So you ought to understand there's something about heroes, huh? I mean, we've got people who got ball players are their heroes. We got people who got politicians are their heroes, God help them. We've got people who preachers are their heroes. My children have some heroes in their life that are preachers. I say, hallelujah. They've looked at them and they say, hey, there's something about their life that is important to me, and I just want to be around them. There's something about that. So I just want to preach on being a hero for Jesus. Can I say, first of all, heroes are set apart by their code, by their codes, by their conviction, by their stand. You know, a hero never backs up on what they believe.
Amen.
They're just going to stand on it. They never do. Everybody remember Superman, huh? How many remember the black and white Superman on TV when he was growing up? Me and Phil, about three of us. No, there are a few of them, huh? George Reeves,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he had that big old jaw. You think, man, you're going to hit that guy, it's going to hurt your hand, huh? Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, faster than a speeding bullet, you know. But you know what Superman's motto was? His code: truth, justice, and the American way.
Right.
Had a code. And can I tell you something? On them old TV shows, I couldn't tell you about the movies because they only do them sell box office tickets. I don't know about all the movies. But I know on that TV show, he was always for truth, justice, and the American way. Can I say, when Superman first came out, he fought against the Nazis. Got to be for somebody who fights against the Nazis. Huh? He had conviction. Can I say, if you're going to be a hero for Jesus, you've got to have a conviction. You've got to have some principles in your life you're not going to back up on. You've got to have a stand in your life that says, hey, I don't care which way the world's going on this. I don't care which way the court system votes on this. This is what the Bible says. This is what God thinks about it. And that settles it for me. And I'm just going to stay with what God said. And you got to have some conviction about you that you're not going to back up on.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a plug nickel for a preacher that once stood for something, and today it's a totally different story in their life. No conviction. Can I say, if God said it, that settles it. That's our code, what God says. You ought to have some conviction. You ought to have some Bible conviction about you. You ought to have some personal conviction about you. There ought to be some places you won't go and some things you won't do just because you know other people are watching you. You don't want them to get the wrong idea about you. Can I say, heroes are set about by their code, their conviction, their stand. You know, somebody that won't stand for something will fall for anything.
Yes, sir.
Brother Lawrence was telling me about a fella. I won't mention the situation. You'll be familiar with it. A fella did wrong in the church and went to jail for it. And today he's pastoring a church not far from here. It wasn't because he repented and God's hand was upon him. You know why? Because people don't have any conviction, they'll fall for anything. I know of churches that once used to be King James churches and something happened to the preacher and then all of a sudden it brought somebody in and sounded like they knew what they was talking about and don't use the Bible. Well, that's okay. We'll just let up on that. Let me help you something. All churches used to be Bible churches. Because until 1889, there was only one. And that didn't even get popular until the 40s. I'm talking about Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ. I'm talking, of course, Baptist, Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, General Baptist, American Baptist, and all other 35 different Baptist denominations. They all used to use the Bible. And now, even independent Baptists are going away from the Bible. They don't have any conviction. Do you know how many churches have lessened their standards and lessened their convictions and lessened even taking the name off the church so they can get a crowd? They're using human reasoning to try and build the church. Let me help you something. Except the Lord build a house, they that labor in vain. And he's only going to build it by the book that he wrote and by the principles he ordained. But oh, you get these guys that go to school. And then they come out and say, well, if we're going to build a crowd, we got to have circuses to get them to come. And then we got to have a circus inside to keep them to stay. And we got to, you know, not offend anybody. Talked to somebody the other day, saw our church on the website, and said, you know what? I really like everything I see on your website. It's got King James Bible on it. I said, we even got it in the carpet. He said, I'd like to see that. He said, well, we're King James Bible Church. He said, but our pastor just don't major on it because he says we don't want people to come, and if they bring a wrong Bible, they feel offended. I don't want to feel offended either. I just want them to get under conviction, get right.
Right.
Huh? See, you got to have a code. Got to have some standards. See, you start letting up on the Bible, and you start letting up on other standards, and guess what you are? You're a compromiser. You're a heretic. And you're no longer a hero for Jesus. You're a zero for Jesus. Can I say this? If you're gonna be a hero for Jesus, heroes are set apart by their code. They're set apart by their cause. Heroes realize there's a cause. You know the story of David. David's out tending his father's sheep. His brothers are down at the battle. His dad sends for him and says, go check on how your brother's doing down there in the battle. Send him forth with some supplies. He goes, checks on his brothers. His brother's up there cowering behind every other Israelite because there's a big 9-foot-3-inch giant down there cussing God in the middle of the valley of Elah. And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Is there not a cause? Here's his older brothers, 7 of them. Here's Saul, who's head and shoulders taller than anybody in Israel. Everybody's scared of this big giant and they're cussing, mean and nasty. Huh? And here's David. And people want to say he's a boy like Daniel. Here, stand up, Daniel. Good job, sit down. You got to keep this in mind. And in Bible days, you wasn't considered a man until you was at least 30 years of age and you'd proven a trade. So I don't believe he was a little kid. Even if he's 25, he's still a lad in the eyes of men back then. So I don't know how old he was. He might have been about 20 years old. I don't know. But I do know this. He had a cause about him. Amen. He said, nobody going to cuss my God in front of me.
Yeah.
I've been out there on the hillside tending the sheep just singing praises about him. It's not going to happen around here. He said, hey, I'll fight him. Now, here's the whole army. You think one of them said, nah, man, we're not going to send that lad out there. Here, I'll take him, Saul. I'll give him a shot. Nope. Because he had a cause. The Lord was worth fighting for. Israel was worth fighting for. His family was worth fighting for. Are you listening? Even his king was worth fighting for. David said, hey, it's worth it. I'll take him on. A hero's got a cause. Can I say we got a cause? There are people dying and going to hell. And look around. This is who God's chosen to get the gospel to them. We have the good news of Jesus Christ. Sinners can be saved. Jesus died according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again. He paid their sin debt. They don't have to die and go to hell. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We've got a cause. Can I say this? Heroes are set apart by their cloak. Every superhero has some monumental event that happened in their lives that changed their life. Clark Kent just thought he had a lot of speed growing up in high school till he realized where he came from. Batman, until his parents died and he was down in a cave and saw all them bats, he didn't realize what his mission was. There's some kind of monumental event in every superhero's life that changes their life. And can I say, on the third Saturday night of March 1974, my life changed for all of eternity. Jesus walked in. Hey, I was lost on my way to hell, but I'm not going to hell. Why? Jesus showed up. And when I called, he answered. When I repented, he washed me white as wool. He saved me and changed my never-dying soul. If you're saved, you have what it takes to be a hero for Jesus. Every hero's got a cloak. A monumental event that changed their life. Can I say this? Heroes are set apart by their clothes. Superman's got a red cape. Now, Batman on TV didn't have a rubber suit, but he does in the movies. But he's got a black cape. They all got masks. Lone Ranger had a mask. Huh? Tonto had a cool horse. I always wanted to paint. Huh? One of them ponies is painted. Huh? Yeah. Tonto did all the work. Lone Ranger got all the credit. Did you ever notice that? Can I say heroes are known by their clothing identifies them. Amen. Their uniform. Their costume. It sets them apart. Lone Ranger was known in early shows as the Mask Man. So he must be a robber, or why would he wear a mask? No, every other Texas Ranger had been killed, and he was keeping his identity secret so he wouldn't be next on the list. You say, why was that important? Because we'd have never got Chuck Norris, Texas Walker Ranger, if the Lone Ranger would have got killed. He traded in Hi-O Silver for a Dodge 4x4. Are you listening? I wonder if he had that stuff like, you know, Roy Rogers had Trigger stuff. Anyway, they're identified by the clothes. Listen, clothing doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. But a Christian is set apart by their clothing. Amen. The Bible tells us to be separate from the world. Amen. I'm just a firm believer if it has a bill and it has webbed feet and it has feathers and it quacks, then it's a duck. And if it looks like the world, and if it sounds like the world, and if it smells like the world, and it acts like the world, it's of the world. But if it's been redeemed, and it looks holy, and it walks holy, and it talks holy, and it represents the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? Good chance it's a Christian.
Amen.
Yeah. Listen. God didn't tell you to wear a red cape, but he did tell you to cover yourself up and present yourself godly, soberly, and righteously in this present world. It's kind of hard to represent Jesus being half naked.
Amen.
When Peter was half naked, he jumped off the boat when he found out the Lord was on the shore.
Yes,
I got news for you. The Lord's always looking.
Yes.
You're welcome. Can I say this? Being a hero for Jesus, heroes are set apart by their characteristics. Superman could fly. Batman had cool gadgets and a cool car. Aquaman, he could live in the water. Every hero, Iron Man, I ain't figured him out yet, but he's got all kinds of cool stuff too. I mean, they all have traits. Man, there was nothing like Saturday mornings when I grew up and I had the Super Friends. Remember that? Until they got the stupid twins. What was up with them? But the Super Friends, the Justice League, that was cool. But listen, they all had different characteristics. This is important. God made us all different. There's some people that have the talent to sing. There's some people that have the call and the gift to preach. There are some that have the gift to teach. There are some that have the gift and the ability to witness to anybody. There are others that have the gift to pray. There are others that have the gift to worship. We're all different. Heroes are known by their characteristics. Now, we've got several preachers here tonight. It'd be a crazy thing if Brother Phil tried to act like me, or any of us tried to act like Lawrence. Because God made us all different. Now, I've known preachers that had younger preachers underneath them. Every younger preacher tried to be like the preacher. That's stupid. We all have different characteristics and different traits and different talents and different gifts. That's the way God made us. Can I say, Batman never tried to be Superman, and Superman never tried to be Batman, and none of them tried to be Captain America. And thanks be unto God, we don't have many Hulks. That was one of the reasons I really wrestled with surrendering and preach, because I could get real green and real ugly at times, and My temper would flare some 30 years ago. Now I'm just too old to care anymore. I'm trying to tell you this. If you're going to be a hero for Jesus, you can't be somebody else.
Amen.
You got to be who Jesus made you. Can I say heroes are always set apart by their compassion? You know what makes them a hero? They care about others even more than their own life many times.
Right.
Did not the Apostle Paul write in the epistle of Rome, did he not write that he himself would be accursed that Israel might be saved? He said, if it were possible, I would die and go to hell that Israel might be redeemed.
Yes, sir.
That's compassion. Can I say heroes are set apart by their concrete? Heroes overcome. They're heroes because they win. They're heroes because they conquer regardless of the odds. Now I said I'm preaching about being a hero for Jesus. If you're going to be a hero for Jesus, you'll be known by your code, your standard, your conviction. You'll have, my dear friends, a cause, sinners being saved.
Yes, sir.
Can I say you'll have a cloak? You can go back where Jesus changed your life. Can I say you'll be known because you'll be identified in your clothing and your character and everything about you will be Christ-like. Isn't that what a Christian is anyway? Christ-like?
Amen.
You'll have characteristics. You'll have talents and gifts. You won't try to be what somebody else is. You'll just be what God made you.
Amen.
And you'll use the abilities and gifts that He has made you for His honor, for His glory. Can I say being a hero for Jesus, you'll have compassion. You'll love sinners. You'll love hurting saints. You'll love saints that aren't hurting. You'll love the things of God, but you'll have a compassion and pity on those that need to get to Jesus. Can I say, as a Christian, you'll be a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And can I say, you'll be an overcomer. You'll daily fight to overcome your flesh. You'll daily fight to overcome the world. You'll daily fight to overcome the devil. And I've got good news for you. In the end, we win.
Amen.
And let me give you the key to this whole thing. Heroes don't try to be somebody else. They're just themselves. Every one of you ought to strive to be the best Christian you can be. And if you succeed in that, you'll be somebody's hero. Might be your little boy, your little girl. Might be neighbor. Might be somebody sitting down the pew from you. There'll be somebody who looks up to you. And one day they'll say, because Jesus made a difference in your life made a difference in my life. Jesus changed me because of you. Can I say? No man lives unto himself and no man dies unto himself. And in ourselves, nobody has a red cape or an S on their chest. We all need somebody. And we can certainly look to the Lord. He is our hero. But He allows people to come into our lives who will help us when we're weak. And we need somebody to physically reach out and touch us who can become a hero of the faith for us. Why do you think the Old Testament was written? The writer of Hebrews says it was written for our example so we can look and see how God moved in lives of the past. And we can read about the Apostle Paul and he can be a hero in the faith to us. We can read about the sons of thunder. We can read about Peter. We can read about Aquila and Priscilla. And we can read about all these people and how God touched their lives and through their lives God touched us. Can I say there's modern day heroes too? Folks that have conviction about them. Folks that don't compromise. Folks that overcome. Folks that when everything comes against them, they have learned to just yield to Jesus. And that impacts everybody around them. Can I say? Why let Hollywood get all the glitz and glamour about heroes when there's heroes sitting in this building tonight?
Amen.
There's people when everything in the world has come against them.
Yeah.
When the dust clears, they still stand.
Amen.
Because they've learned standing starts with kneeling and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, there are folks in this building that's overcome. There's folks in this building who's had pastors who've given up on them. But yet, they're still standing. There's folks in this building that have had family members give up on them. But yet, they're still standing. There's folks in this building that folks said they'll never amount to anything. And yet, they're headed to heaven. And their life is bringing glory to the King of Glory. My dear friends, you may never ever be popular and have your name in lights down here, but if you live for Jesus Christ, one day it'll be revealed all over heaven how much you meant to Him. And isn't that worth it all? What you do for Him. Right now, in your mind, you're thinking about people that's made a difference in your life. They're a hero to you. Can I say, don't you owe that to somebody else? Paul said we're a debtor to the gospel.
Amen.
Because somebody shared the gospel to you, and because somebody lived a Christian life with you, you're a debtor to that, and you owe that to somebody else. It's my prayer that we all become heroes for Jesus.